You are an inspiration and an encouragement to us, and we are so thankful for your faithfulness. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm very happy to come back to Booth Bay Baptist Church. And I thank you so much for your prayers and support for the ministry in Japan. I flew to U.S. last Thursday. The airplane, United Airlines, landed at Newark Airport last Thursday, a few days ago. And 11 hours, you know, flying time from Tokyo to Newark Airport. And from Newark to Booth Bay by driving is about 9 hours or something like that. And that, you know, there is a time difference between Japan and the USA. It's about 13 hours different. So now it's 11 o'clock, a few minutes after 11 here. So in Japan, it's just a few minutes after the midnight, Sunday night. So, you know, I'm still in jet lag. So if I said something wrong, so please forgive me, you know, because of jet lag. Well, you know that my English is not very good. I mean, my English is a little bit better than Pastor's Japanese. But, well, you know, I'm still learning, but I hope you understand my Japanese. Again, thank you so much for your prayers and support. And many people asked me, you know, how old are you? How old am I? What do you think? Well, I'm very young. 26, it's close. Well, my oldest son, I have three kids, and oldest son just turned to 42 years old. And I have one more son, 37 years old. My youngest daughter, she's 35. And so you can guess how old am I. Actually, my age is 49 years old, but 20 years ago. My mental age, you know, 39, my spiritual age is 29. I'm still young. Day by day, God gave me a more, you know, spiritual power to my life. God has been used us to accomplish many, many wonderful things in Japan. About almost 12 years ago, my wife and I started a Christian school in Japan. It's northern Japan. It's located, it's Nagano Prefecture. It's about 100 miles north from downtown Tokyo. And, you know, I shared this in my prayer letter for many times. But God has used our school. Even the first 6 years, I was the field director of SYME. SYME stands for School of Youth Ministries in English. So we teach English and the Bible in English. All the teachers are from the United States. They are all Americans. They teach English, Bible in English. And all Japanese students cannot speak even the one language of Japanese. They must speak, you know, English all the time. Actually, the 13 hours a day, from 7:30 to 8:30 at night. It's tough. You know, if you come to Japan and wants to help us, you can come, but you have to speak all Japanese. 13 hours a day. That's tough, you know. But God has blessed our ministry very much. Even though, you know, while I was a student, there were 100 Japanese plus 25 Korean students. And I would like to show you a brief video of SYME. So, okay, would you please?
SYME Japan. SYME Japan is a one-year resident school for high school graduates. At SYME, you will learn English and also study the Bible in English. All the teachers are native English speakers. While you're at SYME, you will have to speak English 13 hours a day. After a year at SYME, you will be able to study abroad with greater confidence. If you have a dream to study abroad, SYME is the best place to start.
You were more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day, you're the same. You never change. Never.
I came to SYME to study English and also the Bible. One of the really cool things was living together with native English speakers and having fun with them after classes. Not only did I learn English, but my relationship with Christ grew tremendously through the reading of His Word and daily chapel messages. God changed my life incredibly through SYME. Now I have a passion and desire to go to America and study God's Word even more.
I studied at SYME for 1 year and then went on to Wildlife Bible Institute in America. At SYME, I enjoyed learning English with native speakers and my English ability naturally improved more than I ever imagined. I was so surprised that I was able to understand almost everything in my classes in America. I could also make many good friends and really enjoyed my time there. There is no way I could have studied in America without coming to SYME.
After studying at SYME for a year, your English will improve enough that you could go and study overseas, get more education, learn more about the Bible, learn how to share your faith with others about the hope in Jesus Christ that the world needs. So if you want to improve your English, if you want to study the Bible and have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, we encourage you, we invite you, please come and join us here at SYME.
Holy is the Lord God.
Word of Life Japan needs always, you know, helpers from the United States. If you're interested in coming to Japan as a short-term missionary, you have to raise a little bit of money here, but we always welcome you to come. And I'm not retired. I'm still young. I started the ministry when I was 31 years old, actually 32 years old. So started a little bit late, so I want to finish it a little bit late. Well, on Wednesday, I have another time to share with you about the ministry of Word of Life Japan more. So please come back on Wednesday. And so today, I'm going to speak some the Bible message with you. I will share with you about the Bible message. So you're going to have a very difficult time to listen carefully. My English is very limited. Well, I need a translator. The pastor.
The translation will have nothing to do with what you're saying.
Well, you know, we just read the First Corinthians, the chapter 1 and verse 18 through 31. And, you know, the verse 25 of the First Corinthians chapter 1 said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Though there are expressions such as the wisdom of God and God's omnipotence in the Bible, we cannot find any other place that says the foolishness of God except right here. I think this is a strange expression. I wondered if we should say that about God. However, the fact is that we find such an expression in a scripture. As I ponder over the foolishness of God, I feel that there are three aspects of so-called the foolishness of God in verses 18 through 31, which we have just read. The first of all, there is a foolishness of the cross. The preaching of the cross is sometimes foolishness to people. The verse 22 gives the reason. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Apostle Paul knew exactly what the Jews and Greeks were seeking after. Why didn't he just give them what they wanted if he knew what they wanted? What does it mean to preach the cross while knowing it is somehow foolish? Whether 2,000 years ago or nowadays, what people seek after has not changed much. The things that pious and religious people are seeking after can roughly be divided into two categories. One is signs, and the other is wisdom. For the Japanese to believe in a God, they must find some profit in it, or something that is fun, or they must see some miracles. In other words, they seek after signs. The Japanese are very good at creating God. It is said that there exist 8 million gods in Japan. Though most likely only about 180,000 gods are actually being worshipped. So when you come to Japan, you will see temples and shrines, you know, I mean, all over Japan, from north to south. Even in downtown Tokyo, there is a Buddhism temple near my house and also Shinto shrines near my house. The gods created or made by human beings are no more than pets. As long as people take care of them, they can survive. But once they are forgotten and left alone, they are doomed to become relics of history. Therefore, the people who promote These guys have to continually try to catch people's heart by using different methods. You might think it's totally nonsense, but the number of Japanese visiting temples and shrines to worship on New Year's Day is over 80% of the total population of Japan, which is a total population of Japan is 127 million. That means there is about 100 million people go to Shinto shrines and temples to worship on New Year's Day. The first 3 days of a year, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, this is a big event. That's the most popular holidays in Japan. We can watch TV news. The first news is how many people go to this shrine, how many people went to this Buddhism temples. That's a big event. Japanese gods of today have become specialized. One god specializes in obstetrics, another in traffic safety, another in healing sickness. Above all, the most overwhelming popular god for Japanese students is the god of learning. Japanese have to study hard to prepare for the high school and university entrance examinations. For those who want to enter the highest level schools, it is commonly said that if a student sleeps 4 hours a day, he will have a chance to pass. But the 5 hours sleep will make him fail in the exam. During the examination season, those who want to receive higher education will visit the temple and shrines where a god of learning is enshrined. Temples and shrines filled with the people who pay money to buy a piece of wood called an ofuda. It is supposed to bring the buyer good luck. The Bible says Jews demand miraculous signs and the Greeks look for wisdom. Most Japanese people seek after signs. There are, however, the people who don't like a religion that only seek after signs. It is wisdom that they want. They seek a philosophy of life and worldly wisdom. They might study the Christian religion to be informed about it, but not to seek after or know the true God. Jesus Christ could satisfy both seekers of sign and seekers of wisdom. He was the one who fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he gave many more signs to many other people. His teachings were attractive to intelligent people and were full of wisdom. Wherever he went to talk, many gathered to listen to him. The audience even forgot the time and their need to eat. In spite of his ability to give signs to those who wanted them, give wisdom to those who sought after it, he went to the cross at the young age of 33. Satan constantly tempted him. Tell these stones to become bread. People will be amazed and believe in you. Give more bread to the poor. Do more miracles. Heal the sickness and make the dead come alive. Tell more about your philosophy of life and more wisdom. Then people will follow you. Though Jesus Christ could have given more signs and taught more wisdom, he chose instead to die on the cross. They said, come down from the cross and we will believe you. Though Jesus could have done so, he refused to and died on the cross for our sins. Apostle Paul said, this is the wisdom of God. But Paul insists that there is no other way for us to be saved except by the cross. No other way for our sins to be forgiven except by the cross. And no other way for us to come to God except by the cross. To save you and me, Christ died on the cross. Therefore, even though Paul knew that people sought after other things, he preached the cross. The Paul said that the way of cross may seem to be foolish, but actually it is the deep wisdom of God. The second, the foolishness of God, is a surprising way that God chose and calls his servant. This is explained beginning with verse 26. When we choose between good and bad things, we will choose the good one without hesitation. A little while ago, I told you that Japanese take difficult entrance examination to enter a good high school and a university. Why do we take a examination to enter high school and university? You know, to choose intelligent and hardworking young people, young scholars. Normally schools do not choose the stupid and the lazy students. But Jesus Christ didn't choose people who are wise and great. God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to choose the king of Israel. Jesse had 8 sons. When Samuel saw the oldest, fine-looking and wise man, he thought, surely he's the one to be anointed before the Lord. However, it was the youngest son, David, whom God chose. David was not called by man, neither was he considered a significant person by man. Nevertheless, God chose David. I love this future of God. I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior when I was 21 years old. Until then, I had been playing trumpet in a university big band jazz orchestra. At night, I played in a professional dancing band. My life was wild. My goal was tied up with the people around around me. I'm still played a little bit trumpet. Do you play? Anybody play trumpet? It's funny. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to come for my band, some special concert in downtown Tokyo, and many people were just playing trombone and saxophone. I still remember. I brought the trumpet, and played the trumpet. Like this, trumpet. And I really didn't think about the other things. I just, music was, my life in that time. But in that time, my grandfather died as an old man in front of me. His death, my life became, through his death, my life became, emptiness. And the music didn't give me, the answer. But in that time, I was invited to come to a Christian school. It's a Christian camp. So this is a long story, but the last day of the camp, you know, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then, this is a long story, but make short, but God gave me the answer for my life. What is death? What's the goal of my life? You know, what should I do to live? You know. Well, the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 describes a similar situation. The tax collector Zacchaeus was hated by his own people and had an inferiority complex. Jesus said to him, "Today I must stay at your house." This shows us that the loving God reaches out to people who are hated and give them new life. Jesus accepted Zacchaeus, but not because he was good. He was still a tax collector and was considered no good in his society. After I saw how Jesus Christ accepted and changed Zacchaeus, I began to see that God also loved me, loves me, and reaching out to me, and want to release me from my despair, my outlook on life, and my goals have completely changed since I acknowledged Jesus as my Savior and decided to do whatever he wills. The reading again, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I'm so thankful that because of God's foolishness, he chose me even though I am next to nothing. Before, I had thought of myself as unclean in God's sight. But now I always remember that God calls me precious. God's voice in my heart says, "Yes, you are very precious to me. Haven't I paid all your penalty on the cross with my blood? That proves my love for you." And I finally understood that I was truly loved by Jesus. I began to understand more of the meaning of the cross of Calvary. I decided to live my life for God, leaving the ways of the world behind. Once I realized God's love and my preciousness in his sight, I could look at other people with God's eyes. Do you see this man? He is precious in God's sight. And do you see that man? He is precious in God's sight too. No man is hopeless in his eyes. All men are important and valuable in his eyes. Gradually, my attitude toward people changed. God chooses foolish people like me and gives them his loving eyes. The last one, the third foolishness of God, is in verse 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believeth. When God thought of how he would have people preach to people, how he would save them, he said he would do it by the foolishness of preaching. In fact, we cannot preach without being foolish. Before the crucifixion of Jesus, there was a woman who brought a jar of pure spikenard, which is very expensive perfume. She broke open that jar of very expensive spikenard right in front of the people and poured it all on Jesus. What the people said to her, they said, "Why do you waste this expensive perfume?" Well, not now, let's think. For whom was this perfume poured? She did it for Jesus Christ, who was going to die on her place. But the people only said, "What a waste!" What did Jesus pour out for? Was it perfume? No. He poured out every drop of his precious blood. The people were upset when the perfume was poured out. What did they say when Jesus poured out his own blood? Maybe they said, "Lord, why have you wasted your blood? We are people who rebelled against you and sent you to the cross. Why shed your blood for us? Please stop doing such foolish things." Fully knowing that his dying on the cross seemed like a foolishness to the people, Jesus willing to pour out his blood for us all. When he was crucified on the cross, people said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, then we will believe you." He could have come down, of course, but he purposely endured being called a fool, and then he died. If God only wanted to appear wise, he would not have died on the cross. But instead, God chose to appear foolish so that you and I could be saved. What about the preaching of pastors, evangelists, and missionaries? Why have so many missionaries come from the United States to Japan? Why do they leave their homeland where they lived many years in comfort and come to suffer the difficulty of language, confusing customs, and some strange food? Does it seem foolish? I believe the work of preaching has always been done by foolish people. If Christians only try to be wise, evangelism would come to an end. If it were not for the foolishness of Christians who ignore immediate rewards for themselves, for their churches, and simply go out into different neighbors and towns and countries, the gospel would not be preached. We must become foolish enough to do these things if we are to follow the great commission of Jesus to go out into all the world and make disciples of all men. God's foolishness is wiser than men's wisdom. Some people think that Christians are fools, but we know that we are laying up treasure in heaven that will be safe there forever. Remembering the foolishness of God, let us have the encouragement to become foolish too, for the preaching of his word and for his glory. I hope you understand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for our sins and prepare the way for us to enjoy everlasting life. We thank you for your blessings and for your promise to lead us to heaven and keeping us safe forever. May you continue to lead us as we live on this earth. Help us to please you and spread your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As the music team is coming up, I just want to remind you that when we have one of our missionaries here, we do like to bless them with an offering. So we do have offering plates in the front, back and here in the front. 100% of that will go to Kato and his ministry with Word of Life. Okay. I did have a couple of prayer requests, by the way, that were given me at the last minute. We want to be praying for Kathy's mom. She had a bit of a setback, and we want to keep her in prayer, that the Lord would bring healing to her. And I think Andrew began his treatments today for juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. We're going to have just a quick word of prayer before we hand things over to the worship team. Our Father, we thank you that we can commit these needs to you, knowing, Lord, that you know every life and every situation. We pray for Kathy's mom, Father. She's been through a lot, and we just pray that you would be with her in this recent setback that she has had, that your hand would be upon her. Might she be comforted by your presence. We pray that you would bring healing to her body. Lord, we lift up Andrew, and as he's begun this treatments for juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And Father, we pray that it would be effective, that through these means that you have provided, that he would get relief and healing. And we commit him to you with thanksgiving. Lord, we're thankful for our brother Kato-san to be with us here today. Thank you for the challenge of his word. And Father, we pray that you would provide for him, that you would bless him as he ministers in churches during these weeks that he's here in the U.S. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Yoshido, for that gospel message. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was an evening soap opera called Dallas. Most of us probably remember that. And somebody shot J.R., and that was the big question. Who shot J.R.? They milked that for months. I remember when I was down at Liberty, Dr. Wilmington asked us the question, who killed J.C.? Because, you know, many people said that the Jews were responsible for Christ's death. And others would retort with, no, it was the Romans that nailed him to that cross. Others would say it was the Father, because the scriptures say it pleased the Father.